Hello everyone, I'm Tara and we're discussing various aspects of service management. We have discussed elements of customer service, pricing strategies, your whole seamlessness, we will be discussing aspects of queuing theory, of certain brands which failed, didn't learn from their failings. A lot of brands which are very good examples, which learned and then recovered and were big successes for. So there are a lot of elements which are involved. And while we're talking about demand and supply, the demand, you know, we've been talking regularly about assessing the demand, assessing what a customer's need is, understanding customer's requirement and responding to that with your supply. So while we're talking about demand and supply, an extremely important concept then becomes capacity management in service operations. So what exactly is capacity management, capacity planning? So in the Indian setup, for example, companies like Wipro, Infosys, or actually not just in the Indian setup because they are MNCs now. So a few companies like Wipro, Infosys, Accenture, have a lot of experience with in IT services of managing very large projects, and hence being very, very top of the game when it comes to capacity planning and capacity management. There are various kinds of capacity management software, tools, etc., which are available, which also I'll touch on. But first, let's discuss what exactly is capacity management. So for example, you have a fantastic ad campaign and you get, you know, it's a product which you've done your research well, there is a customer need, you are ready to tap into that market, you want to be the first mover, you have had a fantastic campaign, You know, IPL season, you have gone and, you know, advertised, and now the demand is there and customers are eager to purchase. And then you realize you don't have, the demand has overwhelmed what your capacity is in terms of supplying. So you have lesser supply versus what the demand is. So if there is a demand for 1,000 units of your product or service, your capacity actually only, enables you to supply to 500 of those customers. We very often hear about, you know, overwhelming response to something. There's an absolute overwhelming response. And of course, everyone wants an overwhelming response. But sometimes when it comes to business aspect and the production aspect of things, then overwhelming demand can actually be a bad thing, because then, because of your lack of supply, you will have a lot of dissatisfied customers. You will have customers bad mouthing you across social media. You will have, in future, they will not want to come to you because it will be like, a promise you didn't keep, and we were ready to spend our money on you. We don't want to commit to you again in terms of purchasing, because tomorrow, what if, post-service, we require some post-sale, post-purchase, we require service, we require some maintenance, something, and you are just not in a position to manage that. So if you have not delivered on your production, how will you deliver on the servicing? So this becomes a huge, very important element in terms of assessing what is the demand, okay? Quantifying the demand. Then seeing the resources, your capabilities that you have, your input capabilities, engineering, labor, raw materials, whatever it is, and measuring how much you can supply. The gap between your supply and your demand is what you have to align. You measure this gap. You be aware of this gap. You be prepared for this gap. You measure this gap. And then capacity management involves aligning this gap and ensuring that you can supply at the time that you are ready to supply and at the time that the customer requirement and demand is there. A lagged supply is meaningless. You will be putting in the investment and the costing, and you will not even, you know, you might lose the customer and not even generate the revenue for it. So measuring this gap is very important. And then aligning your capacity, your resources in a way that you can respond to this gap of supply and demand is what capacity management is all about. Another aspect of capacity management is not only measuring your current gap in supply and demand and delivering vis-a-vis that, it also involves anticipating future demand and being prepared and having the flexibility and scalability and adaptability of your input process to be able to deliver on what the future anticipated demand could be. So these are the various elements of your capacity management. Now, from when we discuss capacity management, with capacity management come different kind of strategies which work for different industries and have to be dynamic, and we'll see how different industries are adopting those so that fluctuating demands, consistent demands, future demand anticipation, all of these things can be serviced in the best possible manner for all parties involved. So capacity management, as I've mentioned to you, is understanding your resources. Do you have the required amount of staffing? Do you have the required raw materials? Do you have the fuel capability? Do you have the labor capability? Do you have your regulatory approvals to be able to start producing? When we discussed in an earlier chapter, when we discussed the Tata Nano plant, then, while production capacity-wise, everything was there, regulation-wise, everything was there, but there was a cultural, obstacle, which, then eventually, completely scrapped the supply of this. And now, for example, when an automobile is being launched or a new model is being launched, there is an advance, based on the promotions of that, there is an advance queue which is there of the bookings, etc. Now, a situation like, where you are not able to deliver on that is going to lead to a delay, is going to lead to a lot of dissatisfaction. So, you have to understand all the elements which are going into your capacity management, both from the input and from the output point of view. And I'm going to try to touch on various elements of these. Okay. So now, when we talk about the different strategies, let's look at some of the different strategies which have worked across industries and which can be dynamic within the same industry as well. It's important to balance the various elements because uncertainty and volatility is a part of life, especially in the post-pandemic era. There is a huge amount of uncertainty. There are a lot of aspects like, especially during pandemic, supply became such a huge issue because, there were parts of the world like the Wuhan area, the ports in China, which were not accessible. So balancing it out and not having excessive dependency is a very important element of it, Understanding your contracts, you have tie-ups and collaborations and partnerships to be able to supply to your customers. And if your partners, your collaboration partners do not deliver, then it's not individually your fault, but eventually the customer doesn't care. You have not delivered because of whoever you have a tie-up with. So all of these elements have to be balanced out for you to be able to address capacity management and maximize your productivity. You want to reduce wastage. You want to maximize your productivity. You want to allocate resources you want to first source resources, ensure that you have procured the resources, whether it's raw material, labor, technology, engineering, licenses, whatever it is, And then you want to ensure that you are maximizing those, and you know, accordingly you are deploying them in a manner to optimize your output at the right place at the right time to the right customer. I am stressing on the timing because in supply, you know, when I want something at a certain time, a delayed supply, you know, very often, you know, like imagine going to a restaurant and then ordering something, and then sometimes you get very frustrated when it's not come for an hour, when it's not come for around an hour and a half, and then you, you know, you might get up and walk away. Or for example, you have ordered something from a food delivery app and it comes to you 2 hours later when it's completely cold and soggy and not not really good to eat, and you're probably going to get back and ask for a refund, right? So capacity management in terms of the gap and in terms of the supply and demand match has to be done at the right time as well. Timing becomes very, very important. Responsiveness, timeliness, all of these aspects become exceedingly important. So this gives you a representation in terms of the flowchart of the capacity management cycle. Some of the automation tools which are there, which are very commonly used in the market for by companies, by industries for managing capacity, for their capacity management and capacity planning are, you know, a tool called Float, another tool called Resource Guru, another tool called Run, R-U-N-N. So there are a lot of, you know, today with the progress of technology, there are a lot of tools around to help in this process of capacity planning and management. So to have, make sure that your you have an effective capacity management, a lot of aspects come into play. For example, a model which has worked for a perishable good or service has to be sensitive in a lot of different ways versus what the model which has worked for non-perishable items. So the models, the design capacity, all of these have to be adjusted and molded to what the requirements of that industry are. And we have to operate in a practical, realistic environment. Theoretical, maximum outputs in an ideal condition are not exactly what is very realistic. So while there is design capacity, which is measuring, theoretically, in an ideal condition where there is no downtime, there is no labor strike, there is no resource, raw material block which is happening, this is what my output should be. But we don't live in an ideal world. In an ideal world where, assuming there is no technology glitch, assuming there is none of that, I should be able to assign resolve so many customer service queries. But we can have a glitch. There can be a site which crashes. So there is design capacity which is a little theoretical. But what is really relevant is your effective capacity, which is, okay, these are the realistic conditions. Okay, these are the constraints and limitations that I'm working with. And keeping these realistic conditions in mind, what is the maximum output I can give within a certain period of time? So it's important to, doing your capacity planning, to be practical and not in that ideal scenario, because you will have glitches. You have to have that margin. You have to have those backups. You have to plan for insulating yourself against excessive dependencies which can affect you. So for example, when COVID-19 happened, did BMC employees or medical personnel or the police personnel, who all ended up being on frontline duties in a way that they had not imagined that they would be, once they were on it, of course they had to respond in a real time which no one could have imagined, but once they were on it, could they have a theoretical concept of it? Okay, keeping this in mind, so many people are getting infected, so we need these teams, so many people, so many beds. So they had to be realistic. No, we can have glitches in terms of, what if the the numbers multiply phenomenally. What if we do not get this supply? For example, when the supply of oxygen cylinders had to happen, especially during the Delta variation of coronavirus, which affected unfortunately a large parts of Delhi and northern parts of the country, the supply of the oxygen cylinders, which theoretically, given the resources and the response time, should have been X number, was not what the realistic supply was. And we saw the mayhem around there. So here, of course, I'm citing the example of a scenario which we saw once in a century, in a lifetime, but companies and businesses have to have this very realistic approach in terms of keeping in mind that you will have your limitations, you will have your glitches and bottlenecks, and things cannot work with 100% precision and with zero possibility of blocks. So now when we are talking about effective capacity, and let's assuming that companies have a realistic view of this, and now they have decided on their, based on their capacity, based on their supply and demand assessment, they have arrived at an ideal product mix or their line of what it is that they want to supply, and they have to now adopt one or multiple strategies for managing their capacity based on all their study. So in this come various kinds of strategies. There is your lead strategy, there is your lag strategy, there is a capacity management strategy which is called coping strategy, there is a match strategy, there is a level strategy. So there are a lot of strategies which work for different industries. But once again, I'll keep repeating that these strategies should be understood and applied from an effectivity point of view and not from a design, conceptual, theoretical, ideal point of view. So for example, when we talk about our lead capacity management, then what does my lead capacity management involve? So for example, when I'm talking about increasing based on anticipated future demand, then my lead capacity management, for example, a restaurant that anticipates that over Christmas and New Year's, this period is a very, very busy time for me. So during this time, I need to increase the number of staff I have, the chefs I have, in which case I also need to increase the procurement of my ingredients and my raw materials. So I need to have my tie-ups in place for that. Likewise, I also need to increase my seating capacity. I need to increase the tie-up I have with the delivery agents and the delivery partners for home deliveries and all of those things. Then in this case, they are predicting and anticipating and preparing themselves to respond prior to the demand arriving. So you will not make all these arrangements in December itself when the demand is upon your head. You will start making all these arrangements probably in November, early November, October, so that you are prepared in time to deliver on the demand which is there over Christmas and New Year's in terms of food and beverage and eating out and restaurants. So likewise, think about the wedding season. So November, December are peak wedding season. So when you have the wedding planning industry, which we have seen in one of the previous chapters, is one of the very large and fast growing industries in the country. Then you have planning happening in advance. There's going to be so much demand for clothing. There's going to be so much demand for venues. So the venue providers, they start putting their staff together. Designers, tailors, they start planning in advance. The jewelry makers start planning in advance. The tourism industry, travel industry starts planning in advance. So this is when you are predicting your demand in advance and planning before hand, you are hiring temporary, maybe you are hiring, you will not, if you anticipate higher demand over Christmas, New Year's, or the wedding season, November, December, then you're not going to hire staff and have those raw material arrangements and those other vendor arrangements for the entire year. You are going to have those for those 2 months or 3 months that you are anticipating this increased demand for. So you will have your, you know, perhaps you might have temporary staff contracts. You might get temporary staff who you don't have to keep the entire year round. Internationally, it's very, very common for college students from all over the world to go during the holiday season and work at high-end resorts as servers, as various other staff persons to make good money. And internationally, you make a lot of good money through tips and gratuity as well. So these staff come and respond to this requirement of seasonal, additional shifts which are required only for those couple of months or weeks. And then after that, it's back to routine capacity, and that kind of staffing and that kind of other resource requirement is not going to be there throughout the year. Now, likewise, you have other strategies which are responding in a different manner. So this is giving you, some illustration in terms of the various ways in which you can match the supply and demand for services. As we've said, it's important to measure this, that if you want to align the two. So for your capacity management to be effective, you have to have not only top management involvement, your teams across have to be aware of this, have to be in the loop on this, and have to be prepared in terms of training and skill to be able to be part of these meaningful parts of these strategic decisions.